You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and I'm here today with a few people from Kodiak College to talk about Kodiak College programs. So could you guys please introduce yourselves, starting with Alan?
Sure. I'm Alan Fugler, Campus Director for Kodiak College. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Heather Corrieri. I teach Computer Information and Office Systems and also work with the non-credit program.
Good afternoon. My name is L.A. Holmes. I'm with the Maritime Workforce Development Program, which is a pretty new program at Kodiak College.
And I'm Lorraine Stewart. I'm the current Technical Education Coordinator for Kodiak College.
All right. So, Alan, why don't you start with just a broad overview of what's going on, what's new for the college?
Well, it's a very exciting time of year with the new school year starting. And we've got some initiatives we're working on right now. As I think we've discussed before, Maritime Workforce Development, we have been working on that program. We're, I believe, moving into our second or third year, and as well as Industrial Arts Program. And we've had the very good fortune over the last three fiscal years of receiving a significant amount of technical vocational education program funding from the state. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, in fact, that has allowed us to develop programs and expand programs such as welding and also lease shop space for a new industrial arts building over on East Reznov, right across from Fort Abercrombie. So that's something that Lorraine and L.A. have been working on very hard. And we are also moving into the area of community education. Now, across this country, it's very common for community campuses or community colleges, community and technical colleges, to do a lot of non-credit types of courses in a wide variety of areas that are low cost. It might be $10, $20, $30 as far as a training fee, and it allows us to bring people to campus to get involved with the campus community for better outreach and to give people things to do at a low cost rather than having to pay for credit classes if that's not what they want. Because over the years, there's been a number of times every semester we have to cancel courses that are offered for credit, whether they be art or yoga or things like that, because we just don't get the enrollment. And when you're paying at the four-credit rate, it gets pretty expensive, and if you're not interested in a four-credit education, well, you know, that's what happens. Is so we're trying to and working on building this program, and I think Heather can speak a lot more to what she has going on, and then we'll let Ellie and Lorraine visit about what they have too.
Yeah, Heather, go ahead.
Okay. Well, as Alan said, we're looking to serve the community at large with some more flexible offerings. Typically, these have been offered as personal growth or development classes and community education. So we've got some ideas, and we're also looking for some more ideas. We're looking for instructors, and one of the advantages for instructors would be that you can teach exactly what you want. So if you've got a particular area of expertise or an interest that you want to share with others, you should contact me and we should talk. Some of the ideas we have on tap, we're hoping to begin sometime this semester, but for next spring we hope to be in full swing. One-on-one computer tutoring. For instance, if you've heard about online classes and you're a little nervous about what that might entail, you can come see me and I will work with you so that we can figure out how to get you online and so it's not so intimidating and scary. Windows 10 is a new operating system that's out there, so that's something that we can do, Windows 10 introduction, a short course, just a few hours to get you going. We've been talking to some instructors about Spanish language courses, one aimed at kids and one for travelers. Also, Russian language is on tap. Learning how to use your serger or basic sewing classes. These are all ideas that we're working with instructors on right now, but as I said, we're also looking for more ideas. Yoga or other physical ed type classes. And and we're also talking about jewelry making, maybe beach glass art or earrings, some kind of fun classes, getting ready for Christmas. You can make Christmas presents. And as Alan mentioned, these classes are lower cost than traditional college courses. They're also short, so you don't have to invest a whole semester in learning a new skill. And there's no credit or grading, so it doesn't impact either your future financial aid or your GPA, which is handy when you're just learning something fun. And we have a new system, so the registration is easy, and students don't need to apply to Kodiak College.
So I don't want to overload you with too many specific questions, because I'm not exactly sure where you are on organizing this. So have you had any classes? Do you have any classes scheduled?
We don't currently have classes scheduled. We did teach some last spring, and then earlier this year we taught some computer classes this semester already, last week. So we are in the process of scheduling, and we don't have a detailed schedule yet, but that will be forthcoming in the next month or so.
Do you have an idea of how frequent these classes might be per week?
If we're talking about one class, we're thinking probably about 12 hours for a class, or maybe even less. So 12 hours or less for a class.
All right. And like during the day or maybe nighttime classes?
Probably nights and weekends. That seems to be the time when people are most available for these types of classes.
Okay. So that seems like a really doable kind of course for people who work.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's our market.
And as far as funding goes, I know that it's a difficult fiscal time for the state and therefore for the various colleges associated with university. How are you able to pay for this new initiative?
Well, this will be a self-supported program. I mean, the cost of offering these courses will be covered by, you know, people who are paying to take them. And then the cost of teaching the courses is far less. In some cases, some faculty may choose to teach a course or two as part of their community service, part of their workload. And for those who aren't aware of what faculty workload is like, we have bipartite faculty who have a teaching component and then a service component in their workload. And so this is a perfect opportunity for some faculty to do that. We can bring people in from outside the community and pay them X amount of dollars an hour for a course. And I fully expect that it will be become a sustainable operation.
When did the seed for this idea begin?
Well, we've been discussing this for about a year as far as the community education portion. And it's been something we've recognized that we need to have at Kodiak College because it's been absent for so many years. I think in the early days, there were a number of these types of courses offered, but then they went away for whatever reason, and not much attention was paid to this until a group of us began visiting about this about a year ago and recognizing the need to do this as providing better services to our community.
How do you feel that this new program kind of fits into your mission as a college, especially one that has many returning students, students who might not fit into the typical mold?
It fits very nicely into what our mission is, and that is providing educational opportunities and training services to the community. And as I mentioned earlier, when you look at community colleges, community campuses across the country, for example, if you look at Tillamook Bay Community College down in Oregon or some of the others there on the Oregon coast, they'll have a catalog that has all kinds of these types of courses, whether it be fishing or hiking or art. It's very common, and so it fits right in with what our mission is.
You touched on training a little bit in what you just said, and Kodiak, as we all know, is a gigantic fishing community and has a big influence in the fishing world. So can you talk a little bit about the maritime workforce development presence of the college?
Sure. I'm working as the primary contact individual for the maritime workforce development, and our goal is to be of service to the community and primarily the fishing vessels, the captains, the owners, the crew of the college. So it was a few years back in 2014 when the University of Alaska published a Alaska Maritime Workforce Development Plan. And there were a lot of surveys that were taken around Kodiak even that had gone into developing that plan and doing a survey or making a comprehensive plan of what is needed where. And it was Alan's decision at that time to go ahead and move forward with vessel repair and maintenance skills that are can be widely used here in Kodiak. And that's what I'm gauging towards. That's what I'm gearing towards. And Alan also mentioned the TVIP funds that we have received for trainers. And for as an example, we have recently used TVIP money to purchase an RSW trainer so we can offer classes on very basic terminology and understanding of refrigerated seawater systems, which is a big deal to our local fleets. And I'm not sure if I covered all of your question there, Kaylee.
Well, why don't you go on a little bit more about the refrigeration you just mentioned?
Well, RSW, refrigerated seawater, most of the fish buyers want the catch boats to have refrigerated seawater on board for salmon purchases. That means they don't want to buy your salmon unless you have had it in an RSW system on board your boat. Well, refrigeration, you know, we think of our refrigerators in our houses where you just plug them in and never think about them, but on a boat where you're having refrigerated seawater, it's a pretty complicated system, and even just getting the terminology down of how it works and why it works and what you need to do to keep it working is a pretty big deal. There's several different ways they can be powered. They might be electrically powered. They might be powered off your auxiliary engine. You might be having them powered from hydraulics that run off your main engine. But even if the powering system isn't a problem, there's still much more than what I can explain because I'm not the subject matter expert on RSW. But there's a lot to learn in making them work and making them work well. And they are a huge investment for our fleet. And we've had a significant number of people in the community ask Kodiak College to do something for the fleet with regards to RSW. And that was part of the initial survey I was talking about that happened before the Alaska Maritime Workforce Development Plan was published. So we have responded to that, and we have a device, which is a trainer. It is an RSW system that is electrically powered, and it plugs into the wall, and it makes water cold in a fish tote that we have, which simulates the fish hold of the boat. And we hope to be finding an adjunct instructor to teach a short workshop on that, and then we'll be holding those classes.
When did you get your hands on that machine?
That machine was just delivered to us, I think it was a week and a half ago.
That's a really cool practice tool.
Yes, absolutely. And to actually be able to practice with a hands-on device is the focus of a lot of our workforce development maritime classes. So all of our workshops, I try to build them in such a way so that the adjunct instructors have hands-on things to show the students. You're not just sitting there in a class talking about electricity. You're actually wiring up some DC items, or you're actually looking at the AC and how it works on a boat when you're plugged into the dock, or you're using power through your inverter. These are all hands-on things that are part of the workshops we offer in maritime.
Can you talk for a minute about the vessel systems trainer?
Sure. The vessel systems trainer, another trainer that we have, is a device you can wheel into the classroom. It fits through any door. It's about 28 inches wide, about 3.5 feet tall, and 7 feet long. I like to call it the boat without a hull. And it has all of the systems in a regular boat, from the steering wheel to the rudder, from the engine controls to the engine, to the little tiny marine gear, because all these things are small and that you can bring into a classroom, but they're functional. They're real products. They're real working items. And then the marine gear attaches to a flange and a shaft, which goes through a babbitt bearing, and then outside the boat hull to a cutlass bearing in the water. There's a V-strut there. You can see how the prop goes on. In the class, you can practice pulling and changing the shaft You can practice changing the steering geometry. You can take off the valve cover and actually watch the valves work. And instead of just talking to people about the four strokes of the engine, you can see these things happening. Instead of just talking to people about the linkages that occur in the engine room when you pull this throttle or you move this forward and reverse lever, you can see these linkages. You can connect them and disconnect them. It's a boat without a hull. And that class we have is the primary tool that we use in our workshops called Vessel System Overview. And we have one of those classes coming up October 7th and 8th. That's a Friday and a Saturday, so it's an in-service day at the high school, and students who want to make use of their Friday could come to the Vessel System Overview class. It's taught by one of our local Marine servicemen, one of our adjuncts, Corey Peterson.
And when did you say you acquired that boat without a hull?
The boat without a hull we acquired, what was it, the end of...
I think it was about a year ago.
Yes, yeah. About a year ago.
And, you know, the beauty of these systems is, these training aids, is they are totally portable. We can put them on an airplane, we can put them on a boat, we can put them on the ferry, we can go to a village. And our instructors have been out in a couple of the villages doing trainings. We did outboard
repair and maintenance in Yuzinki, and then they also asked us to come right back and do DC electrical for boats.
And we're going to be able to increase our activities in the village communities because part of our TVEP funding for this year includes the cost of transportation to get adjuncts out there to give those short courses over a weekend.
Yes, and whether you are in a rural community around Kodiak or whether you are a local part of a very local specific community in Kodiak Town itself, if you see a need in the maritime realm that we can fulfill at the Maritime Workforce Development, it doesn't have to fit into one of the classes that we have going. If you have a specific request, we can build that maritime class for you. We can offer it when you want. And I hope that everyone in our rural communities is really listening to that because we can come there. We can do it. We can do it when you want. We need a minimum number of students to make it financially viable, but we can build the class you want. We can offer it when you want, no matter what your group is. So call me and let me know what you want. We'll make it happen.
Now, aren't you doing a course here for a group of students over at Larson Bay?
Yes, we have just started a KNOTS online class in Larson Bay, and it's the first time that I'm doing this in the Kodiak area. I'm working with the high school instructor there, and we have 7 high school students in Larson Bay who are going to be taking that class.
That's terrific. What is the curriculum like?
Well, I demonstrate a knot. It's a very simple introductory online class to help people get familiar with doing an online class and to help people learn a nautical skill with maritime knots. So I demonstrate a knot on a video, and then you have to do the knot and turn it in as homework.
All right. And who's your imagined student for this? What kind of student would be a good candidate for that class?
Well, in this particular class that we're offering, it's just something I have developed with the high school at Larson Bay right now. And we'll try it out on other high school students and see what people like. And as I get feedback, we'll adjust to what the feedback is and what people want.
And are you open to extending those classes to more villages and
Absolutely, sure. And to the community, too. You know, I could do it just for regular people in, it doesn't have to be a high school person. It could be just a regular adult in the community. Our minimum age for attending our non-credit classes is 14.
All right. And so we've talked a little bit about the maritime workforce development, and there seems to be so much going on in that area. So let's touch a little bit on the career and technical education coordinator here. Could you speak a little bit about what's going on in your sector?
Sure. This last year, we've spent a lot of time and money starting up our new industrial arts facility, which is located across the street from Abercrombie. It's a beautiful shop. We've spent time outfitting it with new state-of-the-art equipment. It expands the offerings that we're able to give students in our community. It's a beautiful facility. If you get a chance, I definitely get you to come out and check it out. We're looking at revising our program and expanding our offerings. This year, we've finally, in many years, we haven't had a boat class. This year, we do. So we're working on classes are full and busy. We've got a landing craft that we're working on remodeling, so to speak. We're playing with that one for the semester. And then we offer our usual process courses that we look at certification for folks that are pursuing degrees or out working in the community. Depending on what their goal is, we work to get them their certification or develop those skills that they need there. We've got some other courses going on this semester that are on campus. We're hoping to utilize the shop a lot more as each semester comes ahead. Right now, LA and I kind of share the shop, so we do try to work around each other's schedules and disciplines, which is nice to have that facility for that.
What kind of classes does your department cover? What kind of skills does it teach?
Typically, we have offered courses in welding, construction, and occupational safety and health. This last year, we've kind of looked at the program to determine what's the most necessary, what is, as far as enrollment is concerned, historically, what is filled best, and welding always seems to be number one. Construction and OSHA, as an institution as a whole, we're looking at how can we become more efficient so that we're not overlapping each other. So we've decided to step away from the construction and the OSHA and look at really focusing our time and efforts into building the welding program, but also looking at other hands-on type place-based training opportunities that are needed here in Kodiak. And we've had a lot of interest in automotive and heavy equipment, and that's the next area that we'll be exploring at this time. But right now, our main focus is going to be on the welding program. We're also looking at coming up with some short format, non-credit, fun type courses or for folks that just, you know, they want to come in, they want to spend some time, they have home projects they'd like to work on. If we need to teach a basic skill in welding over a weekend so they can take care of those projects, we want to do that as well. We're always looking for opportunities, same as with what LA said. If there's a need out there, let us know. If it's not something that we've already got established, it's something that we could absolutely build for someone. So as we're moving into the future, my department, we're always looking for adjuncts. We're always looking for training opportunities or things that are needed out in the community that we can fix. We've also got, abilities to go mobile, although I really like our local shop. It is beautiful, and it is nice to have the space and the equipment. But going forward in the future, yeah, we're definitely going to be looking at other hands-on type things that we could do. And so if there's other programs, other disciplines, things out there that we don't know exist or are needed, please take a moment to bring that to our attention so we can get that addressed.
Well, it looks like we have about 5 minutes left. So I would be curious to hear how some of your departments transition over, how they interact. Does welding meet with maritime workforce? Is there any interaction?
Well, the Maritime Workforce Development Department interacts and coordinates with Lorraine's department in the trades because we both use the same shop. And then I also coordinate quite a bit with Heather because both Heather's courses and mine are non-credit.
Yes, I misspoke earlier when I said we didn't have any classes going right now because Lorraine's been doing this for almost a year now, right? LA has been doing this for a year. So
yes, we're just getting our schedule out for this semester.
Okay. What courses are non-credit that you're covering?
We are covering the vessel system overview, which features that trainer of the boat without the hull. We're covering outboards, and we're going to try to do that in one of our nearby communities as well, not just Kodiak. We have gillnet mending and repair, and we're looking for dates that fit the community. So if people have an idea of when they want that offered, call me at 486-1239. Let me know. We also offer online captain's training. So if you have a lot of sea service and you're ready to get your six-pack or your captain's license, We offer that at Kodiak College.
How do you decide what should be non-credit and what should be for credit?
It's the community that decides. The community is the one, are the people who are saying, you know, I want to learn this. I don't need a certificate on my wall that says I've learned it. I need to know it for whatever their purposes are. And so, of course, I serve the fleet, and Heather is working with other aspects of the community in the arts and crafts and traditional skills and such that they might wish to learn at the non-credit classes.
All right. And we have just a couple more minutes left. So is there anything else that you want listeners to know or any new developments that people should be aware of?
Well, I think one thing that we may not have mentioned is that we now, for the first time, have certified welding inspectors on our faculty.
Oh, that's right.
Which is, we used to bring a certified welding inspector to Kodiak from the mainland, and that's no more. We have our own people who are trained, thanks to TVEP. And also, of I think that is very important, is our adjuncts that LA are becoming master certified technicians through the American Boat and Yacht Council, ABYC. And
yes, that's true. All of our instructors at the Maritime Program are ABYC master technicians.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Talk of the Rock, and we have had a few guests here with us today talking about Kodiak College and some of the cool programs going on there right now. So thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.